Amen. Thank you, dear. Remember Benjamin in your prayers. He's having a real bad time with asthma.
Yes.
So remember him in your prayers. You that are here on Sunday afternoon, he was here on Wednesday a few times also. Mm-hmm. Little Benjamin. He's a quiet little boy that behaves so well. Just a good little kid. Last Wednesday night, we had standing room only in this class. It was a cram-packed one. And that's good. We're doing the Gospel of John. If you're interested in the Gospel of John, Brother Roger's here all the time. And we had a lot of new victims last week. Anyway, we started out, we were going to teach Hell Has No Exits. And we're going to get that when we get to the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Yes, Brother Bill?
I just let you know, Dwayne says, asked me why I was late to come out, and I said, Jim had the best class. He said, Wednesday night was so good to have them in the agency the whole time.
Well, I forgot the camera. Dakota had to run home and get the camera and bring it back. Half the class wasn't on the camera, which I wish I'd have had enough sense to turn it on the CD and recorded it on it. But it was too much confusion. I mean, we were trying to get seats for everybody and cram them in here, and it was quite a deal. Anyway, we had a good time in the Gospel of John. All right, we're in the Gospel of Luke this morning. The Gospel of Luke. Luke has so many good things that he has to say. Luke, what does Luke's name mean?
Life.
Thank you, Judy. That girl remembers everything. And what is the word for Satan that's the same thing as Luke?
Lucifer.
All right. All right, and that's Latin and Greek. Okay. What is Satan's name in Hebrew, and as far as light carrier, shining one?
Hillel.
Okay. All right. In the King James Version, it uses the Latin Vulgate. By the way, we'll go back there just a little bit. The King James Version was not translated from Greek and Hebrew. It was translated from the Latin Vulgate, basically. The Latin Vulgate, Textus Receptus, which people want to say is the received text, that's the one to translate your New Testament from, the only one. Textus Receptus is not a Greek manuscript. It's written in Greek, but it came from Latin. It was Latin. It was translated from Jerome's Latin Vulgate, then back into Greek. So it went from Greek to Latin, and the Latin back into Greek, which is quite a long journey. Okay? And doing that, then that's where they have in Isaiah 14 and verse 12 up there, where they have Lucifer in King James. And, of course, it's Shining One in all the other translations because it's Hallel. Okay? All right, now let's go to the New Testament. Hei kainé diatheke. Say that. Hei kainé diatheke. Hei kainé diatheke. That's the New Covenant. That's what it means, the New Testament. All right? Hei kainé diatheke. All right, in Kata Lukan, the Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to Luke. And Luke means what? Light carrier or shining one? All right. And what was Luke's occupation?
He was a scientist.
He was a scientist. All right. A scientist and a medical doctor and a physicist. I did, by the way. Julie, could you do something for me right now? The blue book that you have there, right there. I got some more of these the other day. Those two little books are $6. For both of them, but that's Christ in creation. J. Lewis Guthrie was a physicist. He was a scientist, and he was also a language genius. Anyway, that book is written there. It'll make your head spin. That's what they said Wednesday night when I got to the classes. My head is spinning. but anyway, there's a lot of truth in this, and that's in the creation. What we're going to talk about today is Christ in creation. Christ dealing with his creation. That's what we're going to do. I've got some of those books. On the front of the website, we have The Creation of the Heavens and the Earth by J. Lewis Guthrie and others. If you go to the Discover the Word with Dr. Jim, you can download those and look at those and read those books. But I have this one. We were trying to put it up on the website one of these days, but poor Randall is wearing out. He's typing all of this in. He has to type all of it in. And so anyway, pray for him. as he does that, we're going to try to get all of J. Lewis Guthrie's works out there. He was absolutely a theological and a language genius. The calming of the storm in Luke, the 8th chapter, the calming of the storm. Jesus and his creation. Jesus dealing with the creation. I almost start teaching Greek because I've been teaching Greek so much, but we won't do that. I'll just tell you what it means. I'll read it to you out of the Greek Bible, but into English. The first word, it says, and it became in one of the days. And he literally embarked. Or what do you do when you embark on a ship? You board the ship, don't you? Or you board a boat. How many of you have ever been out in the ocean or on a boat? You have to get into the boat. And the boat receives you. And that, what it says here, the boat in receives you. That's what it literally says. The boat received him. All right? He got into the boat. And the disciples of him. And what is the word for disciple? In Greek? Mathetes. And what does it mean? Habitual learners. All right? Sunday school class is a discipleship class. My Sunday afternoon class is a discipleship class. And Wednesday night is a discipleship class, habitual learners. The disciples belonging to him. That's what it literally says. His disciples. But in Greek, it has more. It's case of possession. He owned them. Brother Bill, who owns you? Don't say Joanne now. Joanne's just secondary.
That's got my heart
in my soul. Jesus owns you. Why? Because he bought and paid for you.
Yeah.
That's right. He bought and paid for you. He owns us all if we are his. If we ask him to forgive us, he is our master. Okay? Belonging to him, and he said to them, let us go through unto the other side of the lake. Now, we call it the Sea of Galilee, don't we? But it's not really a sea. It's a big lake. It's a big lake. I think it's about 600 feet deep in the deepest place. And by the way, the whole lake is under sea level. Did you know that? The whole lake is below sea level. All the Jordan Rift is below sea level. You can take an airplane and you can fly below sea level through the whole Jordan Rift, below sea level. If you look, it's a depression in the ground. And on the other side is the Mediterranean Sea and the Sea of Galilee. The reason why we have the Dead Sea or the Salt Sea or whatever you want to call it is because the Sea of Galilee for many years, there's a lot of fresh water coming in from the Jordan. The Jordan means descending all the way down. Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 22. All the way down, descending. That's what Jordan means, descending. Jared in the Old Testament, the name Jared means descending. Dying one. The Jordan River comes all the way down into the Sea of Galilee, but the Sea of Galilee had a lot of salt springs in it because it's below the sea level. And guess what's on the other side of the mountain range? The Mediterranean Sea. So water is running up. When the Jews got possession of the land, they went down there and they capped off a lot of the salt springs that go into the Sea of Galilee so it would be fresher water so they could use it for irrigation. Okay? But it goes down, and now we have the Dead Sea down there, which is the heaviest water on earth, I guess. The only other place that's like the Dead Sea is up here above Bishop, California. Know what the name of that place is? You can't.
Mono Lake.
You can't even. You couldn't dive in that unless you put lead on you. And the same thing with the Dead Sea. You can go out there and float around on top of that water. It's so heavy with salt and minerals. The lake. And they put out to sea. So they went out and put out to sea. And then it says, while they were sailing with them, Jesus went to sleep. He went to sleep. He went to sleep. The word hypnosis there. You know when you're in a when you were asleep, you're in a hypnotic trance. Did you know that? This is what we call what? What? REM. Rapid eye movement is what they say. It's REM sleep. Okay? And he was in a deep hypnotic trance in sleep. It comes from apo and hypnose. Okay? And it came down, literally, a lilacs. Lilacs. Say lilacs. Lilacs. You know what a lilacs is? What is a lilac? It is an absolute hurricane. A hurricane. Now, where are they? They're on the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Gennesaret. Okay? Or the Lake of Galilee, whatever you want to talk about it. Now, all these, who were all in the boat with Jesus? Who are the guys in the boat with him? His disciples. Okay? Now, what were these? Ethnically, what were these people? All Jews. Now, what did they think about the Sea of Galilee? What was their idea of the Sea of Galilee? This is the gate of hell. The gate of Tartarus. Sophon, Tophon. This is the deep, dark, bottomless pit. The gate to the bottomless pit in hell. Okay? It's the gate of Sheol. Sheol, or Hades in Greek. Another way around. Sheol, say Sheol. And Hades. What's Sheol mean? Huh? Simon comes from this word. What? The place after hell. Thank you, Dr. John. You got A+ today. All right, Sheol. How about Hades? The place after hell. What about Hades? What does that mean? Literally, what does Hades mean? All you Greek scholars now, what does Hades mean? Marilyn?
The place
unseen. Brother Bill, you get A+ today. All right. That corner over there is doing real good. This one and that one. Sheol and Hades. Sheol, the place Azkaban. Hades is a place not seen, okay? But now this is the gate. According to the Jews, this is the gate of Sheol or Tartarus. Okay? Now, who guards this gate, according to the Jewish culture? Leviathan. Leviathan. Now, what does a Leviathan do? What does a Leviathan do? Right here in the Sea of Galilee, guards the gate in hell. But if you're out in the ocean, in the Mediterranean Sea, if you're in the Indian Ocean or anything like that, and there comes up a hurricane, when a hurricane comes, what do the Jewish society, even the Greek society, what do they think?
Somebody
sinned. What do they think?
Hell's opening up.
All right, Brother Roger. All right, now let's who's Leviathan?
The sea monster.
Okay, that is a feminine sea monster. Basically, it is in the Hebrew mythology, and we don't know whether it's for real or not. Even the book of Enoch talks about this, okay? All right, the book of Jasher talks about this. All Hebrew philosophy and theologians, they talk about Leviathan. Leviathan is basically the feminine, demonic, supernatural force that causes all sea wrecks and great hurricanes and storms. How many of you read the book of Job lately? You lived it this last week. All right? The book of Job. What happened? Where did the storms come from that killed Job's kids? Oh, Satan. God turned loose these demonic powers. They're demonic, okay? Now, as far as these people are concerned, by the way, who is the supernatural force in the desert? Who is that? Who's the supernatural force in the desert? Who is the god or the demonic supernatural being, animal, whatever you want to call it, over the desert? What's his name? Behemoth. Behemoth. So we got Behemoth and we got Leviathan. Behemoth is the male and Leviathan is the female. These are two terribly powerful supernatural beings that cause destruction. Okay? We already, when Jesus went into the wilderness, guess who he faced according to Jewish philosophy? Behemoth. Now he's out on the Sea of Galilee. And he's facing the force of Leviathan. Okay? And Leviathan, according to their thinking, has stirred up a hurricane out on this lake. Dakota, have you ever been in a storm on a lake? Huh? How fast did that storm come up? I took Dakota and her little friend, what was her name, Dakota? What was your friend's name that we went out on Buena Vista? Rosalina. Couldn't hardly pry a word out of her, Brother Bill. Anyway, Rosalina and I went out, Dakota, they were out there, and this was a nice summertime. Everything was just fine. Everything was beautiful. And I went out there and got out there, and I was pulling them around in the boat on a inner tube. They were tubing out there on the lake. And all of a sudden, when we went around one time, when we come back around that lake, there are 3-foot white caps. And the wind is blowing about 60, 70 miles an hour. Tearing the place up. We made 2 or 3 shots at the dock. And the wind was blowing us away from the dock. Boats were crashing on the shore, everything. Boy, I mean, it was a mess out there. Leviathan, was it? Doing her business. That's all I can say. Bad, bad storm. So that's what's going on out here on the lake. And all of Jesus' disciples believed this. You understand that? They all believed that a force of evil was at work on this lake. This is what's going on in their minds. Okay? While they were sailing, Jesus went into a deep sleep. And having come down, a hurricane, a squall. I think there's a movie called Squall, isn't it? Where they went out in the ocean and blew a big, terrible hurricane. What?
White squall.
White squall. Okay. A great hurricane came. Okay. That's what this is. This is like a hurricane force winds. Of animu, of winds.
Now, this was not a very small boat because of the amount of people.
This is probably bigger than my boat. It's probably about a 25, 30-foot boat, maybe. Okay. And unto the lake, Limnane. And the boat kept on being filled. The boat kept on being filled with water. Guess what they were doing all the time? Have you ever been out in the ocean or out on a lake and you're bucketing? You're bailing the boat out? They were bailing. They were bailing and they were bailing and bailing and bailing. Just as fast as they could bail. And the boat kept on filling up. And it says, and they continued to be... Is this all right with me translating this to you? You're not too confused with this, are you? And they kept on being... right in the middle of danger. The word great danger, the word dynamis is in this word, is kin dineu. Alright? They were right in the middle of a powerful force. Something very powerful and something very dangerous. It's like standing in front of a cannon. This is the idea. Okay? They were right in the middle of a powerful force of destruction. 24. And having approached, all of them ran to Jesus. And they awakened him, saying, and here we use a word, different word than they usually use for him. It's epistata. Epistata. Say epistata. Epistata. That's an unusual word. This is a rare word. It means a doctor of letters. The word epistle? Epistle is what? The epistle of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. These are epistles. We got the 1st and 2nd epistle of Peter. All right? Different epistles. These are writings. So here they say doctor of letters. This is what we call LLD on the end of the name, okay? A doctor of letters. They look at him, and what it means, it comes from epi and histomy. It means someone that is placed high above anyone else that's a teacher. A high teacher, someone that is a master teacher, okay? A masterful teacher. A doctor of letters. That's what the word means. It's the lower equivalent of this is the didaskale, which we get a word teacher from, and rabbi. That this is the highest form of teacher that you can use. This is a doctor of letters. Okay? Master, master, is what they said. Two times. Doctor of letters, doctor of letters. Now, come up here and do something. They use the highest form of the word for master teacher in this verse right here. Luke does. He said, we are being caused to perish. We are being destroyed. The word perish there means sent to the unseen world. We are sent to Sheol. We're being sent to Sheol. We're perishing. We are dying. Haven't been awakened. Remember what the word Timothy means? Timothy? The word Timothy is in this word. This next word. Epitimason. Alright? He rebuked with honor. He had held honor over. The universe honored him. That's what it literally means from this word. Remember, I told you there's some things in here in the Greek that you just got to look at. Luke uses some real high terms in here. He had honor over his creation. Do you think his creation is going to obey him? Who created the heavens and the earth? What? Yeah, Jesus did. He's the one that created it. How did he create the heavens and the earth? And I don't believe, like, I'm not a Catholic. Do you see me? I'm not a Catholic. Never was a Catholic. I don't believe that God created everything out of ex nihilo, which a lot of Protestants now have gotten from the Catholic Church. Ex nihilo means what? Out of nothing. What did God create things from? Where did it come from? It came out of himself. It came out of him. All creation, every material thing in the world and every spiritual thing in the world came from God as source. He is the source, not ex nihilo. I mean, that sounds really good, real high sounding, you know, that's Latin, out of nothing. But he created it from him. And when it came from him, he had control and power over it. Christ and his creation. Christ over creation. All right? We are being destroyed. We are being sent to Sheol. Now, when people died right then, they didn't go to heaven, did they? They didn't go, did they? When a person died before the cross of Calvary, where did they go? Brother Mike? They went to Sheol. Everybody wants to Sheol. Everybody wants a Sheol. Now in Sheol, there are two compartments at this period of time. What was one compartment is called what? There are two different terms.
Paradise
and what's the other one?
Hades.
No, what's the other one? No, what's the other term for paradise side? Let's look at it first. It's called Abraham's bosom.
Yes.
Paradise, paradiso. What does paradiso mean? Paradiso. It comes from what language? Is Persian? In the Hebrew, in the Greek, and then in the English. Perez is from this word. And what does this paradiso mean? Nebuchadnezzar created one time. A guarded pleasure park. That's what it's called, a guarded pleasure park. That's what paradise means. There was paradise, or Abraham's bosom, and then we have a terrible place of torments on the other side. And once you get there, there are no exits in hell. Hell has no exits, okay? You don't get out of it. But they thought that they were going to Sheol. And I'm sure they believed they were going to go into Abraham's bosom. And then he said he rebuked the anemo, the wind. And the boiling, literally. Klidane. Klidane. And the roughness and the stirring and the boiling. And the waters, and they ceased for themselves. Nature ceased when the Master spoke. When God created things, He spoke it into existence, did he not? And it came from him. It's like he spit it forth. Spirit God held the whole universe in solution. Now, in physical science, how many of you took physical science in school? Anybody take physical science? I earned a master's degree in science, or not a master's degree, but a bachelor's degree in electronic science. You've had physical science. Did you ever take something and put it in solution until it comes to the saturation point? Mm-hmm. And what happens at that point? Things crystallize, don't they? When they come to the saturation point, Dr. John, you know that. It comes to the point of the saturation point, and then it crystallizes. Matter, solid matter, comes out of it. God held the whole universe in solution, and he spoke it forth, and it crystallized into being. Okay? Now there's wind. There's the spirit forces out there. There's the angel forces. There's the matter. There's the physical matter in all of the universe. There's the atmospheres on every planet in the universe, the whole cosmos. He created all that. That's a lot, isn't it? Not only that, but he keeps it in order. What does the word cosmos mean? Cosmos.
That's everything. That's
Dr. John? It means order. Order. When a woman puts cosmetics on her, what are they doing to themselves? They're putting their face in order. That's what it literally means, cosmetics. To put your face in order. Okay? Things went out of order in Genesis 1 and 2. We ha arts. Ha ya tohu wahuhu. And the earth, she became formless and void. In a mess. In a catastrophe. Okay? And then God began to put it back in order. Now here we have the Creator that created the heavens and the earth, the one that put it back in order in Genesis, the first chapter. He's out here bringing order, cosmos, to this hurricane. Because he's the God over the Leviathans. He's the God over all of their behemoths. That was their superstition. But there are spiritual forces over these things. Look at the book of Job. Every storm, I don't know what demons, you know, we have storms, hurricanes, and tornadoes. What do they call these names, don't they? But what are the names of the demonic beings behind them? Is it Jacob? What are some of them lately?
Katrina.
Sandy. All right. There are real spiritual forces behind these. They're real. We give them names, but I don't know what their names are out there, but they got names. God knows who they are. We just name storms, but there are spiritual forces behind those storms, and there was a spiritual force behind this storm, I'm sure. What's that, Brother Bill? Mike? Huh?
He was commenting on women's names or something.
Oh, yeah, women's names. Now they start naming them with men's names also. You got women and men's names.
And Perez is a men's name. And he's one of the bad angels in Enoch, isn't he, Perez?
Some of them. Perez is also the ancestor of Christ also. If you look back. All right. And the waters, they ceased for themselves. And they became called Dalene. They became still as a mouse. That word means tranquility. Things were brought back into order, brings back into tranquility. And then he said to them, where the faith of you? Where are the faith of you? Where is your faith? Who was in the boat with them? The master of the heavens and the earth. Did they really believe that? They called him Espathate. They called him that. They called him highest master you could call him. Did they believe it? They were busy bailing that boat out as fast as they could bail it. But did they believe? Maybe they should have said, Jesus, would you dump this water out of here for us? We're tired. Just make it go out. Just go poof. Turn on the bell pumps, Master. And he said to them, where? Where the faith of you? And they, having feared, and they were absolutely traumatized. Traumatized. Tamasa. Tamazo is where it comes from. They were traumatized. We're traumatized. How do you get traumatized? You can go to war and get traumatized, can't you? Huh? What do they call that? Post-traumatic stress. You can be tortured and beaten, and you can have post-traumatic stress. It's something terrible. Now, who was, according to them, who was out there torturing them? Leviathan. The power, the evil power of nature's were at force here, and Jesus says, shut up. Shut up. And the storm ceased for itself. The storm ceased for itself. It had volition. So what does that tell us in Greek? What does it tell us? That there was a spiritual force here involved. There was really a spiritual force. It wasn't just winds and circuits of... It wasn't just geology. It wasn't just... what do you call these people that...
Meteorology.
It wasn't meteorological forces here. We have got some spiritual forces. Who fought Jesus all the time that he was on the earth in flesh? Who fought him? All of Satan and all of his spiritual forces of hell.
Thinking they could kill him?
They wanted to kill him. They tried. They tried to kill him, didn't they? Tried to deceive him, tried to... Satan thinks he's smart. He thinks he's real smart. He accosted Jesus in the wilderness, didn't he? And he tempted him in several different ways, in every way that we are tempted also. And the waters, they obeyed. Third person, plural, present, indicative, active. The waters, they obeyed. Okay? And the storm, it ceased for itself. Right? 26. Now let's go back into another sphere of power. Another form that Jesus is over. All of the creation. Right now we know that he is over what? The meteorological, the weather forces of the earth. Okay? And he's over the spiritual powers of Satan that inflict hazardous weather on people. 8:26. They sail down and into the country of the Gerasenes, which is over against Galilee. What's Galilee mean? Remember? Circle. That means the whole circle around this lake. Okay? And this is one region in this circle around the lake. And having gone out upon the land, he met a man, a certain man, out of the city. And this man having demons. He continued to have demons. Demonia. What does demonia mean? Dr. John, you remember what the word demonia means? Brother Mike, demonia.
Little gods.
What does it mean, little god? What does it mean by little god? Demonia. What's that mean, little god? Supernatural beings are not... What we live in a, what we call a normal physical world. But there's a paranormal world that we're... It's kind of like juxtaposition realms, dimensions. We live in a physical world, but along in our physical world, there is a spiritual world, and there are many dimensions. Okay? And when the word demon is someone that dwells in a different dimension, someone paranormal, someone beyond the natural. We live in a natural, but this is beyond natural, paranormal. powerful beyond power. If you want to by the way, I want to throw this, interject this parenthetically in this class just a little bit. If you went to what you call a psalmist, a tarot card reader, where did all the psalmists and the tarot card readers come from? The Jews. That's where they came from, where they were Jewish. They still believe in a lot of this today. The charismatic movement that has got started in the late 1800s and the world, basically the Jews were part of that also. The Jewish Renaissance, what they call the Jewish Renaissance, began about 1880. That's when they started to begin to use their Hebrew language again. And they started to write newspapers and articles in Hebrew. It was actually Hebrew and linear, because they would write Hebrew and then they'd write the translation, because none of the Jews knew the Hebrew anyway. But they were trying to bring their language back. And that's the time that they started what we call the Zionist movement. They wanted to go back into their land. They wanted to go back into the land of Palestine. And during this, to show God's approval of this, they started having demon casting. You think that all this started with Pentecostals and stuff? It didn't start with Pentecostals. It started with Jews. They'd have demon casting meetings, and they had certain high rabbis that would cause miracles, and they were laying their hands on and causing miracles. The greatest in the Jewish history, what year was the greatest messianic movement in Jewish history? In modern Jewish history. What was year was that? No. What was the greatest messianic movement in the Jewish history? Dakota heard it on television the other day. I told her.
When they left Egypt?
Huh? No. What was the, and by the way, all the Jews historically for the last 1,000 years have been in the entertainment field and the magic field and all that, in the theater. Did you know that? Okay. What was the year that they had the greatest messianic movement among the Jewish people in the world besides Jesus Christ, which they didn't believe? 1660. And the Messiah went out, and I mean, he was this empty in countries. They were following him all over, and I cannot remember his name right now for the life of me. But anyway, they took and they held a knife to his throat and made him convert to the Muslim faith. And I mean, it is some part. But all during this time, they were having miracle services. They quit using medicines, and they were using magic. In the Jewish people, there is magic, and the charismatic movement is so... When Jews get converted, they go right into the charismatic movement, because that's what they've been dealt with. That's what they believe. Okay? Let's go on. A man possessed with supernatural powers. That's what it means. A man possessed with supernatural powers. For a considerable amount of time. And he was running around naked. He didn't tie on any clothing. That's what it says. He didn't tie on any clothing. By the way, all the clothing they had back then, they were wrapped. It was wrappers. In Hebrew, clothing means wrappers. And at this time, they were wrapping clothes around them. The serapes or something like that, you know, that type of clothing. They didn't have pants and they didn't have shirts and stuff. It was basically they had underwear, but they had wrappers. He didn't put any wrappers on. He was running around naked. And he didn't live in a house. He did not remain or live in a house. But among the... this is the master of the graveyard. The master of the graveyard. The master of the graveyard. That's who he was. That's where he lived. Now, who's in the graveyard? Who occupies? That's what we call necropolis, isn't it? Necropolis. What does necropolis mean? Necros means dead. Necropolis, that's the city of the dead. That's where he lived. He lived in the city of the dead. He was a master of the graveyard. He was running out there from tombs, and they had caves, and they had all kinds of stuff. He was living in the caves where the stinking corpses were rotting. Running around with no clothes on. And the man was from a very prominent family that lived in the, what we call, Decapolis. What's Decapolis mean? Decapolis, that's a Greek word, Decapolis. Deca means what? Huh? Ten. Polis. We got a word, police means someone over the city. Ten cities. I've been in that, in Jerash. I've been all up and down the ten cities over there where he was. You know what happened over there later on? That man became a missionary to his own family. And he went back. All right? He didn't live in the house, but he kept on living in tombs. And having seen Jesus, having cried out, he fell prostrate down on his face in front of him. And in a voice, great, he cried out. I mean, in a screaming, loud screech. In some of the Gospels, it says he cried out, Ooh-ah! Ooh-ah. Say ooh-ah. Ooh-ah! That's an onomatopoeic word. What's that mean? Onomatopoeic. What's an onomatopoeic word?
Sounds like
what? Say ow real quick. Ow! Have any of you ever said ow? Yeah, you ever said ow? Slam the door on your finger or whatever. Stump your toe in the middle of the night. Broke your toe in the middle of the night. Broke your toe. That's daylight, by the way, in Greek. Broken toe. Day. Ooh-ah. The scream of the demon is. I remember Brother Hubbard preaching a sermon, Ooh-ah, the scream of the demon. This is what he did. He screamed out with the scream of a demon, screaming out, Ooh-ah! Ooh-ah means what in Greek? Ooh-ah. Brother Mike, you remember what that word means? Brother John? Dr. John? Remember that, Brother David? How about you? This is going to be a new revelation, huh? It means calamity. Calamity. Brother Bill, you remember now.
Yeah.
Ooh-ah means calamity. It's an onomatopoeic interjection of horror and calamity. And he said, what to me? To you. What do I have to do to you, Joshua? Son of the God. Son belonging the heir of God. The Most High. The Son of the Most High God. Now, he knew who he was. Do you think the demons don't know who Jesus is? And there, in every false religion, there is a paranormal, supernatural force. In the writing of the Quran, there was a supernatural force. In the Jehovah Witnesses doctrines, there's a supernatural force. What's wrong with the Jehovah Witness business? They do away with God and make him an angel. When you've done that, you've done away with salvation, haven't you? You've just thrown the people into the garbage pit, right into the lake of fire, which they don't believe in either. Every false religion does not believe in Jesus Christ as Messiah and God the Son, and they don't believe in hell either. They don't believe in hell, these cults. All right, Most High. I beg you for myself. I beg you for myself, not you torment me. Torment me. Basa nises. You torment me. First aorist subjunctive active. There are no exits in hell. Okay. And these demonic beings that were in this person. By the way, there was two of them there. He tells us there were two of them running around like this. But in this demonic person, there were at least 2,000 demons dwelling in him. Okay? And they spoke in unison in one voice. Okay? Now, if you go to these seances and stuff, sometimes they tell you things. Some of these spirits there are spirits there, by the way. Don't go to seances. You go to seances, you're walking right into hell. You're walking among hellions, real ones, among real demons. If you go to a fortune teller and they really are dealing with you, you're talking about dealing with demonic forces, paranormal forces. Do you think, Brother Mike, how far back can you go with one of your great-great-grandfathers or something? How far do you know their names? Okay, I can go back on the Paul side of my family. I can go back to Risa Paul and his mom and daddy, which I can't think of right now. Risa Paul was my great-great-great-great-grandfather. John Paul Jones was his brother. John Paul Jones. John Paul Jones, his name was John Paul. It wasn't John Paul Jones. Did you know that? And he was the father of the American Navy. And the Paul family came from Scotland over into the East Coast. Some of them went to New York and some went to North and South Carolina. Ours went into North Carolina. And Risa Paul was Smith Paul's father. And then Sam Paul was his son. And then Sam Paul had her grandma and my great-grandmother. That we go back that far. But do you know what? All the demons knew them and knew every word they ever spoke in their life. And they could communicate about them and what they said then, as if it's right now. They could imitate their voices through people. If a person would let, you know, people talk about, they say they are channels of spiritual forces. Well, surely they can be channels of spiritual forces, just like this guy was here. He's a channel of spiritual forces. Do you want to be that part of that? Spiritual world is not from God, Julie. I don't think a saved person could be possessed by demons at all, because we're only triune in nature and we have spirit God in us, but we can be spiritually
bombarded,
influenced,
physically,
yeah, around us. As a unit, we are triune. Body, spirit, and soul. Once a saved person has the Spirit of God in them, they can never be penetrated by satanic forces. We have guardian angels.
Yes.
But what we have is a barrier.
We have a barrier.
A barrier. Now, we know we have barriers, plural. Go to the book of Job. We ought to do the book of Job again, one of these things. The book of Job tells you about the barriers. The barriers. There's the barriers that we have over the physical bodies. Can demonic forces hurt your body? Can demonic forces hurt your body? Sure they can. They can injure us. They can do that. They can use people to injure us. Okay? Can demonic forces, can they bother your mind?
Yes.
Yeah. Can demonic forces bother your spirit?
No.
Off limits. Okay? Let's go a little further. We're running out of time. All right. He thought, these demons thought that Jesus, and they knew Jesus could, throw them into the lake of fire. Who are the first people thrown into the lake of fire? Revelation 20 and 10. All that. Right here in Revelation. Who are the first ones? The beast and the false prophet. Okay? And then, who is thrown in Revelation 21 through 3? Who is thrown into the bottomless pit, which is an area of Tartarus? When we get to the 16th chapter of Luke, we're going to go into, and we're going to teach the doctrine of hell. Right out of my. Out of my book, The Doctrines of the Bible, okay? Is that all right with you?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is something we really need to know about. Revelation 27 through 9. If you just study Satan's path up here, you can figure all this out where he'd have the blue line. I think they ought to put a black line when they put that up there. All right. The gate to Tartarus, where the Leviathan was the guard, he had already proved that he was a master over a Leviathan and the supernatural meteorological order. Now he's going to show his disciples that he has power over the spiritual forces, the demon world. And this demon right off the bat shows obeisance to Jesus, doesn't he? Because he's afraid of him. Because he knows right now I can go to hell forever and there are no exits in hell. I can go there and I won't get out and I will be tormented. Basa nesis. I will be tormented. At Basa niso, I will be tormented. And he kept on commanding the spirit, the unclean, to come out from the man. For many times he had seized, he had taken power over him. And he kept on binding, he kept on being bound with chains and leg irons and handcuffs and guarded and tearing apart the bindings. He kept on being driven by the demon unto the wilderness, unto the uninhabited. Now, who is the God out there in the wilderness? Who is the supernatural being over the wilderness? Who's that? Behemoth. All right. So now, what we're talking about here is we're talking about Jesus showing his powers over all these forces. All right? And he kept on questioning he questioned him, the Jesus. What is your name? And he said to him, Legion. My name is Legion. Because he entered demons many unto him. And they kept on beseeching, crying, and calling out to him that not he might order them unto the abyssone, the abyss, and to send them away. To send them away into the abyss. And he continued there. Continued to be there a herd of pigs, swine, many, feeding in the mountain. And they besought him in order that he might allow them unto the pigs to enter into. And he allowed them. All right? Now, demons seek to inhabit what? Human or animal flesh? Demons inhabit human and animal flesh. Have you ever seen an animal so mean that you thought it was demonic? Probably it might be. Maybe it is. Is there a bear sometime? Is there a bear or is there a shark that is a man-eater? What do you think? Maybe there are demons in them. Probably there are demons in them. Yeah. Let's go a little further. And the things, the demons, they came out of the man and they entered into the pigs. And they rushed, the pigs rushed head on down a bluff into down a precipice. It's just like, you ever see these movies where somebody fell over a cliff? Cliffhangers, you know, they used to call them. They went over a cliff. And they kept on being choked to death. All right, now, what happens here? Now we have animals with volition. We have the storms that are spiritual forces. We have animals with volition. We have demon spirits. We got a lot of spiritual forces around here, people. And we got people with spiritual, with volition. Okay? The swine are feeding, and the swine they take, once the demons go into the swine, they decide they don't want to live any longer. So they jump off the cliff and drown themselves in the water. They don't want to live like that. But where? What is the water? That's the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Galilee, which the Jews think is the gate of hell. And Leviathan was just out there stirring up the great storm. So what lesson do we have here? That Jesus has power over every force there is. And he went out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus, and they found him, the man, sitting, whom the demons had gone out, having been clothed, and possessing his senses, beside the feet of Jesus, and they greatly were caused to fear. And they reported to them, the ones having seen how he had healed the demon possessing the man that had been demon possessed. And he interrogated him, the multitude, the whole neighborhood of the Gerasenes, to go away from them, because great they kept on being seized, it says. And he, having embarked in a boat, he returned. All right. And the man kept on begging him that the demons had gone out of to be with him. And he dismissed him, saying, go return to your house there. And you tell them the things that God has done to you. And it went away according to the entire cities. All right? So all the cities of the capitalists. And I went over there, and there is where the major churches were found. This guy went out and planted churches. This was a Christian stronghold where this demon-possessed man that had been set free. He went there. He's changed from a demoniac to a preacher of God's word. Okay? Preaching what things he did to him, the Jesus. All right. We'll, yes, Julie.
So after the pigs die, what happens to the demons?
They had to go someplace else. They're still floating around out there someplace. Now, according to the Jews, they probably went through, and Leviathan that guarded the gates to hell, they probably went on down there. Okay? But whether they went there or whether they're still floating around out here today, we do not know. But we know that they were real, and they were real demons. Do you have any other questions?
It said that the demons caused the man to go into solitary. But then, from the Greek, it says that the pigs chose themselves to go.
That's right. The pigs had a volition. The pigs chose to die. Pigs are smarter than people. I've always said that. And that's proof in the pudding right there. That's proof right there. Pigs are smarter than people. All right. Anything else? Nothing? All right. Go out and do something eternal. Brother Bill, have at it.